Hello, Grace Church. This is Nathan again with another podcast. A podcast where our goal and direction is to get discipled and instructed by the Heidelberg Catechism. But today we are going to cover questions number 3, 4, and 5. Yes, 3 questions in 1 day. And the reason for this, as you remember, is the Catechism is broken down into 52 Lord's Days. And this is Lord's Day number 2, where it covers questions 3, 4, and 5, and these 3 questions flow very nicely together. Okay, so looking at question 3. Question 3 asks, how do you come to know your misery? If you remember last week, question 2 asked, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? And the answer was, well, 3 things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I'm set free from all my sins and misery. And third, how I'm to thank God for such deliverance. And so question 3 picks right off of question 2 and asks, how do you come to know your misery? And the answer to it is, that law of God tells me. So how do you come to know your misery? Answer, the law of God tells me. The law tells you. Whose law? God's law. God's law, which is holy and perfect and right, that law reveals to you your misery. That's what the Catechism says. Paul says it also in Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law reveals to us that we have in fact transgressed the law and transgressed its author. The law in fact increases our sin. Romans 5:20, the law came in, why? So that transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Romans 7:5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Well, the law must be bad if it tells me about my sin and actually increases my transgression. Well, Paul says in Romans 7:7-8, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. The law reveals that sin is, it's in my heart. Verse 8, but sin taking an opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. You know, just like those even now that are advocating, how to get less crimes in the world. And they would say, well, just decriminalize everything. Well, yeah, that would work. You know, if you decriminalize crimes, there's therefore no criminal. Why? Because there's no crimes. Because there's no law. But God says, I will reveal what's in your heart through this law, and you will see your need for me, or the law will harden you all the more. Verse 12 reminds us, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. And then Paul sums it up, Romans 7:13, therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin, affecting my death, through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would be utterly sinful. The Catechism doesn't hold anything back here. It's telling us right out of the gate, if you have sin that needs to be dealt with, you are miserable. And you must see your sin, you must see your sin-induced misery before you have any comfort in this life or in death. And the way we see our misery, it's through the law. The law is good, so don't make the law the problem. You are the problem. You know, a sidebar here. Let's think about the question again. How do you come to know your misery? We are not good at seeing the misery in us, but we can sure spot it in others. You notice all the quirks, all the silliness, all the sins and the mistakes of your boss. That person in the grocery store or your spouse, But when it comes to acknowledging your own sins and shortcomings, that's when it's too hard. It's easier just to focus on everyone else. So the law reveals to you your sin. You go, okay, I understand that the law of God shows us our misery because it requires something. And so the question then is, what does the law of God require of us? 50%, 75%, 90% obedience? How much of the law do you have to keep? How much do you have to get right? Because I can read, clearly, the law wants me to do this or do that, and then it tells me that I have failed in some way. But surely God wouldn't require of me something I can't do, would He? Well, question four. What does God's law require of us? Answer. Christ teaches us this in summary. In Matthew 22:37-40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Two responses to that could be. One is, I can do it. I can do it. This is attainable. Second response, I can't do it. This is unattainable. What does question five ask? Question five then asks, can you live up to all this perfectly? Answer, no. Why? I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. Wow. So you have to ask, what's your only comfort? The gospel of Jesus. What do you need to know? How great your misery is. Where do you find how great your misery is? From the law of God. What does the law tell you? Basically, to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, can you do it? No. I am at birth inclined to hate God and hate my neighbor. So then, what is our hope? What's our comfort? Listen to this. You have to be perfect. You have to be righteous to enter heaven. You cannot have any sins. You cannot have any white lies. You are demanded to be absolutely holy and righteous. There is no other way around it. There is no other way. So for those who think this is attainable, they must be reminded of the fact that they can't even live up to their own standards, their own inward law that they have on themselves. Like, they want a clean house, or they want a clean car, or they want a clean mouth. They want a budget they can stick to. They want to be good stewards of their time. They want to treat people as the way they want to be treated, and they want to do things with excellence. But yet, they fail in every one of those scenarios. And if they fail in their own little inward law, how much more so do they fail in God's law? So they have to realize this is not attainable. The Bible could not be more clear on this. We could sit here and quote chapter and verse for the next 20 hours. But here's just a few to tell you. Romans 3, verses 10 through 12. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Titus 3:3. For we also once were foolish ourselves. We were disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Old Testament, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Romans 8:7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too we all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in its desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. By nature we were children of wrath, even as all the rest. Those passages, if you're truly hearing what they're saying, they just keep hammering away at us one after the other, saying, you must cry out and say, woe is me. Woe is me. I am lost. I am unclean. If I am still in that state, I am unholy. I am not holy like you are holy, God. I need a Savior. And that's when you truly know your misery. And you knew it from the law. You knew it from God's word that says, look, you're disobedient at every turn. And when you are obedient, you're doing it as a sinful, selfish ambition. Because the law comes from God. And when you realize you can't keep that law, you can't keep 613 laws, you can't keep 10, you can't even keep 2 perfectly your whole life. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner and more precious Christ will become to you. So don't lose sight of the fact that the law is not meant to be an aspiring list that can be attained. No, the law is designed to make you run to the Savior that kept that law, because that law will crush you if you don't. The law will crush you, and you then must run to the Savior. Don't let those who teach a gospel of moralism tell you to just keep 2 great commandments. Just keep those, and you don't have to worry about the rest. But as we have already seen, keeping just those 2 is quite the hassle. So there you have it. How do you come to know your misery? The law of God tells me. What does God's law require of us? Christ teaches us in the summary of Matthew 22 to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the first commandment is, and this is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then the question is, can you keep this perfectly? Answer, well, no, you can't. Why? Well, you have a natural tendency to hate God and to hate your neighbor. Kevin DeYoung says, we all want comfort, but don't want to face the misery that is ours. Christ brings us to misery that He might lead us to comfort. In other words, if you don't face your miserable condition, then comfort is something you will always seek. And you will always seek it outside the means of biblical Christianity. You will never find real comfort and joy. You will only find its imposters. You cannot have comfort apart from Christ. So may God's law show those who are not believers that they are indeed sinners in desperate need for a Savior. And remind us that are believers of the misery that we have been delivered from. Praise God. Talk to you later, Grace Church.